speaking the Word of God on this program is Brother Harold Singh.
All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I believe that. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then Paul's encouragement to Timothy is as follows. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The first acetate sheet that we're using tonight has on it 2 Timothy 4, 1-4, down near the bottom. We introduce tonight a follow-up of what was used last night on who is a liberalist. But to Butch and Marilyn, good friends of mine from Naylor who come in, this is only supplementary to a theme that we're using on peerless times have come. I want to suggest that the scripture in verse 1 says peerless times shall come. Our theme is peerless times have come. And in verse 13 it says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I'm suggesting tonight they are worse and worse and have gotten worse and worse, and that people today can see conditions that we're talking about. I don't know just how long we will be in presenting this part about liberalism in the body of Christ, but I hope to have time remaining when we're finished with this to go back to the study of peerless times have come and other material that we have. Last night, some three or four of these were presented, and I have them in this stack also. But when we come to them, they'll be at the bottom of the stack that we're using, and we're going to present them only in a very, very brief way since you saw them last night. Who is a liberalist? The man who emphasizes the gospel teachings, the social teachings of the gospel, and plays down the doctrine of salvation from sin. One time John looked and beheld Jesus coming and said, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And you and I today need to make the same declaration. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It is the Jesus that we read about in the Bible that takes away, not the gimmicks that are used today among many of us in the church, but the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. I read to you, and that's the way we introduced the lesson tonight, because it's connected with the subject of our lesson, peerless times have come, 2 Timothy 4, 1-4. But the liberalist is also the man who says that we have too much negative preaching. We need negative preaching as well as positive preaching. For example, in Exodus chapter 20, we find the Ten Commandments, and eight of the ten are negative in nature. In Romans 13:9, we find five of the original Ten Commandments listed in that one verse, and that is in the New Testament. If you don't particularly like the Old Testament, take this one verse and find negative preaching in one verse, Romans 13:9. And then the scripture that we used a moment ago, 2 Timothy 4:1-4, and Matthew 15:13, Jesus said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." He's talking about religious plants. And they will be rooted up. Every individual that's in or involved in any way in religious error will someday be rooted up. Well, there are a lot of these, and we're moving along as quickly as we can. Who is a liberalist? The man who says that the Bible, some of it, what's the word underscored? Contains the Word of God. Did you get the impact of the way that that is worded? And these are not my words now. I'm not saying what I believe. This that you see in black each time is what the liberalist said. I'm not a liberalist. I deny being such. We're talking about what they say. I'm not up here tonight saying that the Bible, some of it, contains the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, verbally inspired. Every word of it is the Word of God. It doesn't just contain God's Word, which would imply some of it's not the Word of God. And the Bible suggests to us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. But quickly, still another, and the 2 points here, the liberalist is the man who says, and what's the way this is worded now? These are not my expressions. And I say this because although De Forester and probably other rural congregations, and perhaps all of you, with the exception of Highland Drive and Poplar Bluff, would be rated as rural, maybe you are not bothered too much with the liberalists. However, the liberalist brethren today like to work on the smaller, weaker congregations, weaker numerically, because they figure they'll have a better chance of getting a toll there than they will some of the other congregations. So you need to know who they are, what they teach, and what to expect when they start teaching. You don't know when they come. You ought to know something about it. That's why I believe that it is well for you to be informed as to what liberalism is, and what a liberalist is, and how he preaches, and how he talks. He talks out of both sides of his mouth, I know that. You can't pin him down. I've tried in a few instances to do that with some of them. They say, quote, that the science of evolution. And I tried to say that sarcastically because it should be sarcastic towards such an expression. The science of evolution and the Bible can be harmonized. Well, I mentioned the little monkey the other night. So I brought along something I could read tonight. I had to kind of hit it only in brief the other night, since I know so little of it by memory. This is a book that I published a number of years ago, and it has the monkey's viewpoint in it. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree discussing things that are said to be. Said one to the other, "Now listen, you two. There's a certain rumor that can't be true, that man descended from our noble ways, the very idea. It's dire disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her baby, and ruined her life. And you never known a monkey, a mother monk, to leave her babies with others to bunk, till they scarcely know who is their mother. Man couldn't possibly be our brother. And another thing you will never see, a monk build a fence around a coconut tree and let the coconuts go to waste, forbidding other monks to taste. Why, if I put a fence around this tree, salvation would force you to steal from me. Here's another thing that a monk won't do. Go out at night and get on a stew, or use a club, or a gun, or a knife to take another monkey's life. Yes, man descended the honorary cuss, but brother, he didn't descend from us. Now, I said the other night, we need to take into consideration the monkey's viewpoint. I don't think that monkey likes the comparison too well. And I'll tell you something else, Harold Zane doesn't like it either. I don't think any of my ancestors ever looked like it. We were up in Three Rivers, Michigan 2 weeks ago, my wife and I, preaching the gospel meeting up there. That's down in the southwest corner of Michigan, not very far from Chicago, Illinois. And they have a beautiful park, city park there. Three rivers come together at this place. That's the reason the name, city is named there. Friends that we were staying took us out there one day, and we browsed around several hours. Beautiful place to be, and it's so much cooler up there. They didn't have any air conditioning. They didn't need any up there. We enjoyed it immensely. And while we were out in that state park, there was a cage where there were some monkeys. I took a good look at those things. To me, they look like, or any of my ancestors ever looked like those things. I just can't believe that. First place, I can't believe it according to the Word of God. And I know some of my uncles way back there didn't look so good. They did not look about as good as Harold does. But I don't believe any of us ever looked like that. And when I look to the Word of God and I read Genesis 1:26 down here at the bottom of this chart, it reads like this. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Wait a minute here. You mean to tell me that God ever had the image of a monkey? That's serious charge, isn't it? Let us make man in our likeness, our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, have dominion over the fish, and over the fowl there, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, including the monkey, man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he man. Male and female created he them. Now you either believe it or you don't believe it. And I resent my liberal brethren, erring brethren, gone astray from the Word of God brethren, ever suggesting that any of my relatives, way back to pioneer days for that matter, ever descending from a monkey, not according to the Word of God. Who is a liberalist? The man who says that our worship is traditional instead of scriptural. That we kind of drifted into it, and it's a traditional thing that we fell into it along the way, and we carried on because of that. The answer is, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe we fail sometimes in putting the spirit into it like we should, but we better make sure it's according to the truth also. And Acts 2:42, and they continue, that's after they were baptized on Pentecost. They were baptized according to verses 38 through the 41st verse. We find they were baptized. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And thus, my good people, they did in worship what we did today, what we do today, because we can find it. I challenge any man that's here tonight, or anybody in this whole world, for that matter, to name one single thing that we do in worship that you think I cannot put my finger on, and I'll put my finger on it in the book, the Bible, and prove to you by thus saith the Word, the Bible, or thus saith the Lord. Book, chapter, verse. For what we do in Bible. That's why we don't believe in foot washing. Feet washing either one. I never could understand why they say foot wash. Stick one foot up. I'd wash both of them if they were dirty. And I believe in feet washing if they're both dirty. And I never heard of one of them getting dirty without the other one, as a general rule. And furthermore, if you're sick and somebody wants to wash your foot, and I remember one time when I had a fractured spine and I couldn't reach my foot, either one of them. Because I was in a cast, from my hips to my shoulder. Body cast. My wife or somebody in the family did all of the foot washing in my house for my feet then. I believe in foot washing then. It feels pretty good to have somebody else wash your feet sometimes, but that's not a religious act. I just mentioned that as one of a great number of things. You don't find it in the Word of God. But what we do, we can find in the Bible. And it's not a matter of tradition either. But this is some of the many things that the liberalist teaches today. Who is a liberalist? The man who says that Christ was not born of a virgin, or Christ was not conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now last night, I believe it was last night, yes, I was talking about the Good News for Modern Man and the Living Bible. I mentioned a few things that you'll find in those books. I wouldn't call them Bible or Testament. I'd call them a book. And among the things I did not mention is John 3:16. You check them out, the word begotten is not found in them. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It does not say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, because they don't believe that Jesus Christ was begotten of the Holy Spirit like you and I do. They believe that Jesus Christ was begotten just like you and I were begotten, conceived as you and I were conceived, and born as you and I were born. Well, I think he was born that way too. But according to the Word of God, if you believe the Bible, and I do, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. But the liberalist today says that Christ was not born of a virgin, that she was not indeed true and pure and virgin, or that Christ was not conceived of the Holy Spirit. He denies the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I skip this passage for lack of time tonight and suggest to you that you read Luke 1, 26-31 to find what the Bible teaches in regard to the birth of Christ, the conception of Christ, and find that it is according to the Word of God. Furthermore, who is a liberalist? The man who, to exalt Christ, degrades the church, same, and it is the same doctrine as preach the man, not the plan. The Firm Foundation, some years ago, carried articles in it, in succession, a great number of them, on this idea, preach the man, not the plan. But it's come to the point you can expect just about anything from Rule Lemons, editor of the Firm Foundation anyway. You find one thing one week and something else next week, and it'll be just the opposite to one another. And that's about the kind of paper that this paper is anyway now. I don't recommend it except unless you want to see the... It's almost to the point of being comedy. And it's a serious matter. That's the only reason why it is not. But it's the same thing, just about, for one to say, exalt the Lord. Exalt, praise the Lord. Exalt Jesus Christ, but not the church. Jesus, yes. The church, no. But good people, they stand or fall together. Let's prove it. Inside the rectangle down here. To exalt the husband, would you have to degrade his wife? Is that the way you're going to exalt some of these brethren tonight? Is that the only way that you pick out any man that you want to this year? The only way in the world that you're going to praise him is to run down his wife? Well, that's in reality what you're saying when you say, Jesus, yes, the church, no, or exalt Christ and degrade the church, because the church is Christ's wife or bride. Now, do you have to push the wife down in order to lift the man up, the husband? How about these passages? Paul, we're told in Acts 8, verse 3, said that Paul, the Bible says that Paul, quote, and that's in quotation, made havoc of the church. It's underscored. Then Jesus said to Paul, look where this is now, Acts 20, verse 28, same book, Jesus said to Paul, why persecutest thou me? Why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus ask that? because Paul made havoc of the church. Because of the fact that Paul made havoc of the church, Jesus asked Paul, why persecutest the church? No. Why persecutest thou me? Paul had made havoc of the church. But when Jesus questioned him, he didn't say, why did you make havoc of the church? He said, why did you persecute me? What have we proven? We have proven that when you make havoc of the church, you persecute Christ. Because they stand or fall together. You cannot make havoc of the church without persecuting Christ. You can't persecute Christ without hurting the church. They stand or fall together. You can't preach Christ without preaching the church. You can't preach the plan without preaching the man. You can't preach the man without preaching the plan. By the word plan, we're talking about the plan of salvation. Who in the world can preach Jesus Christ, the man, without preaching the plan of salvation? We're told that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, he asked for baptism, didn't he? The Philip, the eunuch did. He asked, here's water, what does hinder me to be baptized? There's not a word said about baptism in that passage. But all that we have in the Bible is that he preached Jesus. The preaching of Jesus then must have included baptism, because he knew to ask for baptism. Therefore, the preaching of Jesus, or the preaching of Christ, includes the plan of salvation. So when you preach Christ, you preach the plan. When you preach the man, you preach the plan. If you preach the church, you preach Christ. You can't preach one without preaching the other. You can't believe in one without believing in the other. But the liberalist has you to believe that Jesus, oh yes, they call themselves Jesus priests, or we call them that, or the Jesus festival. The congregation at Advent sponsored a Jesus festival while I lived at Dexter. Oh, no, I'll take it back. It's while I was living in Parma. And two of the elders at Parma went with me to see them perform, and perform they did. It wasn't their group, but the Church of Advent was sponsoring them. Now, to be fair, there were two congregations in the Boot Heel that had them scheduled who canceled out. And I'm glad they canceled them. Because after we saw what we did, they should have been canceled. And so I credit these congregations for doing that. But, good people, this is what I'm talking about. The Jesus freak. And you can go to Belmont in Nashville, and you can find it to the extent, and I'm not exaggerating, because I regret the fact that I'm afraid that I have a relative that in time past has been there. I wish I didn't have to say that. But it's first-hand information to me. I thought that sounds pretty straight. And the news is that when the time comes to take the Lord's Supper, they're stretched out on the carpet, upon the pulpit, some of them at least, propped up like this, except the elbows down on the carpet. And they bring the Lord's Supper around, and while propped up that way, they sit and take the Lord's Supper. And they lounge around on the pews that way. And they're dressed in the hippie apparel, most of them are. And a bunch of hippies anyway, most of them, who attend the congregation there. We're talking about that, the serious. And they are liberalists, rank liberalists. This fellowship from congregations in the Nashville area. Gospel Advocate has branded them, as well as other papers in the Brotherhood. Who is a liberalist? The man who says the Holy Spirit leads directly, separate, and apart from the Word of God. That means that we don't need a Bible. That means that we don't need to attend services at church. It just simply means it all depends upon God, that God, through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works direct on that man in sin. The Holy Spirit's coming, and I'll be saying, if it don't, I'll be lost. But if I don't get the Holy Spirit, it'll be God's fault, and there's no other conclusion to arrive at. For it all depends upon God. The man who says that the Holy Spirit leads directly, separate and apart from the Word of God. The answer to this is, that the Holy Spirit uses, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is the Bible. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit uses the Bible as its means to speak. The Holy Spirit teaches through the Bible. If you go away from here tonight and say that Brother Sane said that the Holy Spirit is the Bible, or the Bible is the Holy Spirit, you misrepresent me. You misquote me. I did not say that the Holy Spirit is the Bible, or that the Bible is the Holy Spirit. But I said instead, and here it is, and I hope that you're copying it down, you copy it down correctly. The Holy Spirit teaches through the Bible. And the Holy Spirit uses the Bible as it means. The Bible is the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit speaks. And you must read it and find out what it is. And it says so in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And down here in John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the Word of God is the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit is revealed to us and speaks to us. The Holy Spirit is not something that's mysterious and difficult to understand. Holy Spirit, the personality, a person, and Holy Spirit does not lead directly or work directly on a man, separate and apart from the Word of God, but work on a person through the Word of God. This is the vehicle through which it works. You will never be saved, good people, except as you're taught from the Word of God. You find me one case of conversion, one story in the book of Acts where anybody or any group of people were ever saved except as they were taught. Taught. They didn't have to be in the pulpit. Philip wasn't in the pulpit. He's riding along the road in a chariot. I stood on the bump of my car one time and preached to an audience gathered in the street. And it's getting a little uncomfortable standing up on the bump of a car. It was an old Model A Ford. It had a little more bumper to stand on than some of the newer bumpers. But it's still kind of tiresome. About the only way I had to elevate myself up where they could see me, and I preached for 30, 40 minutes standing up there. Not very comfortable.